All right, thank you. Since we have a little extra time, I'll give you a little bit of background on this. Harrison Dittan and myself, you know Harrison, who's the biostatistician that I've worked with at Parker over the years. We had looked at the National Ambulatory Medical Care Survey and wanted to do some research on that for a while. And so that's kind of how we got started on this. I'll tell you a little bit about that history and kind of how it led to this project. I have no relationships to disclose, no conflicts of interest, so we'll get that out of the way. With Dr. Cheryl Hawk and Dr. Ron Rupert, while back we formed this little practice-based research group we call ICON, the Integrative Chiropractic Outcomes Network, and this is the second study that we did on ICON. I probably presented the other one here. Can't remember, maybe it was at ACRAC. Last year at APHA, Harrison and I did present on a study we did looking at the National Ambulatory Medical Care Survey, which asked physicians, DOs and MDs, in a one-day survey what they did with their patient. And what interested us in that survey was that it's done by the doctor, and it has a box related to health education that was rendered. Box 8 has a little check marks you can make for what kind of health education you rendered on that service date. And what interested us primarily was there was a box higher up that said, was your patient obese? Was your patient hypertensive? Was your patient a diabetic? And so I thought, I wonder if they checked that box, if they also checked this box down here saying they rendered health education. And so we looked at the NAMZIC and presented that here last year, but in a different section. And what we found is that if they said they checked the box on obesity, they were more likely to also say, you know, that they gave health education advice. But when we manually calculated through the software BMI, they were no more likely to be advising their normal weight patients than they were their overweight or obese patients. And the same was true for hypertension. So we thought, well, how would it look if we tried to replicate this survey among our practice-based research group of chiropractors? And so the paper we published was in the American Journal of Health Studies on the NAMZIC in September, but we actually published this paper a little sooner because it was in the Integrated Health Journal that we have through Ron Rupert at Parker. So this was published in March. So anyway, the ICON group is a practice-based research network registered with ART with about 50 doctors of chiropractic in it, and they're asked to participate each time in the study, and then they can refuse or they can say, yeah, you know, we want to join in. And so in this study, what we had was 27 doctors and 21 practices in 12 states. And that's a map that you can see going to the website of where our doctors are located in ICON. So certainly not a representative sample across the United States, but they come from various areas. So the objective of this study was to try and replicate the questions from the National Ambulatory Medical Care Survey in a sample of doctors of chiropractic to assess feasibility and appropriateness of this instrument for a larger study focusing on prevention and health promotion practices. We left some questions out. For instance, if it said, did you refer the patient for oncology today? We didn't really think that was relevant for chiropractic. So the NAMZIC, as I mentioned, is typically completed by a physician on each patient they see in their medical practice in a single day. So after IRB approval at the college and the collaborating institutions, we sent the agreements to the instructors in advance, to the participants in advance, and they return those to a research coordinator. And then they would receive specific instructions on what they were to do, and they were given a one-day opportunity to collect the data between October 3rd and 7th of 2011. So it's a single-page instrument using questions from the NAMZIC, as many of those that we found would be pertinent as possible. And they were either identical or similar, and like I said, we omitted those that were not relevant to chiropractic practice. The surveys were answered by the doctor based on each patient seen that day the data was collected. So they were surveyed as to the services performed that day related to prevention, diagnosis, examination, and any blood testing associated with the with a preventive screening. There are also questions related to services on diagnosis they rendered that day and disease prevention, health promotion, screening, health education, referral, like did you send this to a complementary and alternative health care provider is one of the questions in the NAMZIC. So we ask where they referred the patient, if they referred it, and co-management with other providers is also a question. So the completed surveys were collected by a program coordinator at Logan, actually, and placed in a secure database. Then we transferred to SPSS and used double entry verification in the process. Hard copies are stored in a fire-resistant cabinet there. Data analysis included our calculation of BMI, even though we asked the doctor to give us the BMI on all of the patients who had height and weight recorded on the survey. Hypertension was also calculated when blood pressure was taken and categorized based on the World Health Organization's Guidelines Subcommittee on Hypertension, and descriptive statistics were computed for the variables in SPSS. So the forms were completed for 530 patients of those 27 doctors and 21 practices in 12 states, and you can see the states there. Mean patient visits was 20, ranged anywhere from 5 to 54. Mean per practice, 24, ranging from 5 to 63. Females accounted for 60.6%. White, 82%. Mean age was 44.6 years. And new patients comprised 15% of the sample. Those having been referred to the practice, 32.5% stated that the patient they saw that day had been referred to the practice. Preventive care was reported in only 4.2% of the patients the doctor saw, and insurance was being used for that visit by 61% of the patients they saw. Tobacco use was generally low, as we've reported before in some of the other samples of chiropractic patients, at 10.5% of the sample. 84.4% had height and weight recorded, and of those, 34.3% were overweight when BMI was calculated, and 31.8% were obese. Of 489 adults, DCs recorded the BMI as well as the height and weight, and 259, or 53.2% of the patients. Among those where the BMI was calculated by SPSS and compared to what was recorded by the doctor, there was an 11% discrepancy rate in the calculation, so they apparently calculated the BMI incorrectly. So that could be a problem for us if we want to do a larger study. We may have to figure out a better way or just calculate it ourselves. 347, or 71%, had blood pressure recorded, and 22, or 6.4%, were hypertensive that day. And so if you look at chief complaint and diagnosis, low back pain was diagnosed in 36.6% of the patients, neck pain 22%, shoulder about 6%, mid-back 5%, extremity pain in general 4.4%, pain-related visit 92%. And if you've read the National Board of Chiropractic Examiners reports over the past several years, you see the vast majority of chiropractic patients come in with some form of pain. So this, as we would say in the Deep South, with G-Haw, with that kind of data generated by the National Board. Maintenance care, 3%. Now, we don't know that this sample is unique in any way, but it could be. I'm going to look back and see my words here. Strength and performance improvement was reported, the reason for the visit in less than 1%, and a nutritional consult less than 1%. There were 88 diagnostic codes that were used for C-spine. Most prevalent was a diagnosis of some kind of neck-related complaint, including radicular pain from the cervical spine. Lumbar, 28.7%, and that included sacroiliac, lumbosacral, lumbalgia, sciatica, strain, sprain type diagnoses. And less than 1% of the diagnostic codes were thoracic, general headache about 2%, and subluxation about 2%. So other things we found, exam and screening related, 67% reported they didn't do an exam of any kind on that day. So that was kind of interesting. But again, with uniqueness of chiropractic being a diagnosis is rendered and treatment is given, over a period of time in a series of adjustments. For instance, they may have not done a specific exam that day, but this is just what they reported. Another thing was x-ray was reported in only 4.3% of visits. And we don't know if that has something to do with the trend towards using less radiography or if it's just a fluke. MRI was ordered on 1% of the visits, other imaging less than 1%, complete blood count, glucose, A1C, blood lipids less than 4%, I think. Prostate screening mammography, that's just not being done, at least in this sample. Not that it wouldn't have been done on another day, but it doesn't look like it's a likely thing that's being done. And then other unspecified blood tests, about 4%. We don't really know what that is. It could be something related to nutritional testing, but we don't know because we didn't ask them the specifics of that. Health education, exercise was recommended in 60% of patients. Of 141 overweight patients, 63% got advice on exercise. Of 131 obese patients, 68% got advice on exercise. Diet and nutrition overall, 23% of those who were overweight, 24% got advice. Of those obese, 28% got advice. Weight reduction advice was given to 4.2% of the sample, only given to 2.1% of the overweight group, only given to 11.5% of the obese group. However, 74% of obese patients received either advice on exercise, diet, or weight reduction. Among the tobacco users, 9.8% were given advice on tobacco use or cessation. Stress management advice was given 7.4% of the time. Injury prevention, 27.7% of the time. Growth and development advice, whatever that would be, 3.8% of the time. Less than 1% gave asthma education, family planning, and other unspecified advice was given in a health education manner to 4.7%. So, opportunities exist for patients to receive health education and screening advice in chiropractic clinics. We know that. There's a tremendous opportunity for dose response because the average chiropractic patient is going to be seen several times in a year, and that's not always true in primary care medical practice. Recent studies indicate physicians don't engage their patients in health education, even on the visits where they might be in the doctor's office for something. It's more rare that they would give them advice on health education. So our studies are finding that we give a lot of advice on exercise, for instance, but what if we were giving that advice, you know, on a routine basis? So these brief counseling sessions we know can be effective. We would like to see more research done in that area. In this PBRN, we don't know that they're necessarily routine as what's typically seen in practice. They could be a unique subset. But generally, health education engagement was low. In the cross-sectional study here, x-ray use, preventive exam use was low. Third-party pay was common. Errors in recording occurred in some cases. Cross-sectional one-day assessments may not capture all the efforts DCs use as they see those patients several times. And selection bias in a PBRN is a limitation. These results should not be generalized to DCs nationwide. I would like to see certainly more research on dissemination of health education advice and certainly the role that chiropractors could play in administering this advice because of that dose response specific interest that I have there related to chiropractic visits being multiple over a period of weeks or months. So we acknowledge all of the members that participated in the study, in the paper, and also Michelle Anderson at Logan, who is the clinical coordinator for the study in the clinical research division. A few of the references there, including the access point for the NAMSIC, if you would like to see a little bit about NAMSIC, but you can Google it. I'm sure most of you are familiar with it. Thank you.
I think because we just got three presentations that we'll take questions now, if anybody's got any questions, and we'll have also some period of time at the end as well.
We don't give them anything. So, thank you. just they're interested in prevention-related research. When we formed the PBRN, we told them in advance that part of our interest was looking at whether or not chiropractors render health education advice or preventive services. That we would be looking at, you know, how chiropractors manage a variety of complaints, and if they were interested, they could join. So these people have volunteered basically to serve in this capacity.
So I'm kind of down the road for multiple reasons, because I'm interested in comparative effectiveness research, and I'm involved in that myself. I'm a very avid 40-year chiropractic patient. My son's a chiropractor. So I'm more thinking in terms of dissemination. Have you thought that far down the road in terms of how this might be taken up by chiropractors on a more wide basis?
I think we got that question earlier today, and maybe a student over here wanted to know how do we get chiropractors to do more of this? And that's the million-dollar question that's been asked every year, probably, that this section's been asked. But we need, I mean, we should have 500 chiropractors here, but we don't.
Yeah, I'd say that the practice-based research networks may have potential for conducting some good comparative effectiveness research, but it's going to take a stronger infrastructure and interest to be built up for that to happen, and that's got to be funded somehow. That's A, I guess. And B, reimbursement for chiropractors for these kinds of things is low, just as it is for almost any other kind of healthcare provider, but is, there's actually a growing awareness that these things should be paid for and that chiropractors can bill for and be reimbursed for these sorts of things. So that's coming down the pipe slowly, but that discussion is currently being engaged in by some pretty large third-party payers. So I think this is the wave of the future. What we don't know, I guess, is that whether or not what you found in terms of these rates of behavior are generalizable or not, and whether or not they can be increased appropriately. So that's the big next question, right?
And this is something I started to say this morning, but I was not really asked that question. Somebody else was. But I spoke to the American College of Chiropractic Consultants last year, and this is a group of guys that do claims review for insurance companies.